Hey, dude, this dog leg stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie, I am so happy to be here to shoot the shit with you today.
I love Sundays because I also am ready to shoot some shit. But as you know, this is going to come out after we've been to the tent sale. So our podcast schedule has been a little bit disrupted from our adventure. But hopefully you got to watch our live video in the trade show floor. And hopefully we got to talk to some great people. And most importantly, hopefully we got to meet a bunch of you. And that's the really exciting part for both Barbara and I. And we get to go on a trip, which is always good.
And we get to be together.
And we get to be together. Yes. In the same spot for like 4 days. It's very exciting. Yeah. So welcome to episode 404 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 3rd, 2024 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Precision Sharp, Groomore, and Stazco. And if you guys want to help support the show as well, you can do so by going to our website, thegroompod.com, and clicking on the Patreon button. Or if you want to support Barbara directly, you can click on the donation button that says, "This is where you support Barbara." It says it right on the button.
Thank you.
This week, we're going to talk about shampoos we've used over the years, which is basically light lifting so that we can continue to work and prepare for our trip to Atlanta, because as we record this, it hasn't happened yet. And then we're going to talk about whether the dog skin is a good barrier or not. So this week's podcast is brought to you by Groomore Software. If you haven't found Groomore, you're missing out. Groomore is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groomore has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop mobile or house call, Groomore has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code. Well, Barbara, the life of a mobile groomer is such an exciting thing. Let me tell you, there's never a dull moment. Something always breaks, and that's what happened this time. Alas, it's one of those parts that regularly wears out on a trailer, and that is the axles. And if you guys have been with us for any length of time, this is probably my third axle replacement since the Groom Pod. Last time we decided to use half axles, which were kind of a newer option. But when he put the half axles on, he told me to be careful because they were not as durable as a single torsion axle would be. Well, here we are like 2.5 years later, and I hit the pothole that bent the rim of my tire that I told you guys about a couple weeks ago. And I thought I had done some major damage to one side of my axle. But in truth, the other side, the driver's side tire, started to wear unevenly. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because people pay attention to how your tires wear, because this was the only indication that something was going wrong. And I went and I had my rim replaced at Les Schwab, and I asked them to check my hubs, and they said everything was fine, peachy, hunky-dory, everything was good, but the truth is, it never really followed right. And so I decided to go into my welder and have him take a look, and he called me after I dropped the trailer off and said, "I've never seen the trailer swing arms wear out like this. Instead of being donuts, they're eggs. You've completely destroyed it. It had nothing to do with going in the pothole. And you were basically one pothole away from ending up with a broken axle on the side of the road and the wheel coming off again." but I caught it.
Oh, my God. I worry about you so much in that old funky trailer.
And yet, everything that happens, I've been able to manage without doing anyone else any disservice other than my grooming clients, who are all very malleable and polite and kind, very gracious about me having to schedule.
I can't wait for you to get out of that trailer. It scares me to death.
Ah.
Just scares me that something is going to happen that's going to kill you.
I've already had the worst things happen, and all it did was end me up on the side of the road. I'm in the right lane. I drive slowly. I mostly stay off the freeway. Be pretty hard to kill me. I'm just saying. I don't put myself at that kind of risk. Could happen, but more likely it would be some drunk driver hitting me that could happen anywhere rather than a breakdown with a trailer. The trailer, it's really very predictable. Like, I knew something was wrong before any catastrophe happened, but be sensitive to that. Any of you mobiles out there, if something doesn't feel right, even if somebody tells you it's okay, go check it further. So I started to reschedule my people. And I tried locally to find a torsion single axle, but we couldn't. So we did find one. I'm in Seattle. It's in Delaware.
Oh, my God.
By the time I noticed how long it was going to be to send it here, because it was really the only option, I figured that they had some guy put it on his back and he's walking it across and it would probably get here in a couple weeks. Well, it did finally show up. But the hubs were later, so hopefully Monday it'll be put back together. Tuesday I can go to work, and Wednesday we're out of here. So,
so you're going to have one day of work, maybe.
One day, two dogs. You just got to let this stuff go, though. Nobody's going to turn my refrigerator off. I got emergency money put away. I'm in good shape that way, so I just know that when I get back, it's nonstop grooming until mid-April.
Yeah, you're going to be slammed.
I don't have any days off.
Oh, God.
But it's okay. I'll make it. I'll just plow through. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I've worked 2.5 months straight with no days off before. Not that anyone wants to do that.
Well, I have too, but I'm not ever going to do it again.
Yeah, I know.
Someday the truth will hit you like a fucking broken axle.
Hey, let's go right into our first subject. Like I said, we're going to probably make this a quicker podcast than normal because Barbara has to get writing and I've got to get packing because I am going to go to work at some point in time this week before we leave. Fingers crossed. So let's take a break and then be back with our first appointment. Let me tell you about Best Shot's newest addition to the Ultramax Pro line. Ultramax Hair Hold is a flexible hairspray that can be layered on for a stronger hold. Ultramax Hair Hold spray is great, but my favorite new product is called the Max, and I won't groom without it. It's a fragrance-free ultra-concentrate conditioner and detangler. It reduces drying time and handles undercoat and tangles like magic. Just a few drops in the final rinse or spray it on and dry it in. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or learn more online at bestshotpet.com. Grooming success begins with Best Shot in your tub, made from the best stuff on earth. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. HydraSurge. HydraSurge was my first shampoo. That's what the lady used who taught me to groom. She had a HydraSurge bathing system, and she used almost exclusively HydraSurge. Plus, we were working in a vet hospital, so whatever the vets gave us to do on the medicated baths. So those were our options. I remember the smell of those HydraSurge shampoos. I loved them. But I had no idea what was in them. None. Zero. Zip. It was way at the beginning, but I was really happy to have some variety, at least within the product line. What do you remember using first?
The first that I remember using was Fresh and Clean.
Oh, I remember that.
Fresh and Clean was the first fragranced shampoo that was on the market that to deposit a fragrance on the dog. There was fragrances in shampoos before that, but just to kind of cover up the chemical scent odor. and not to really make the dog smell like anything, but Fresh and Clean had a distinct fragrance that it deposited, and it was probably the first thing that I brought with me to open my shop. I have been through so many shampoos that there's no way I can even remember. But I used the Nature Specialties for a number of years.
Me too.
I thought they were very good performing shampoos, and the fragrances were okay, and the price was right, and they were locally delivered to me by our Nature Specialties sales guy. And I only stopped using Nature Specialties. I really liked their Plum Silky. I stopped using them after I started writing my first book on ingredients, because they wouldn't tell me anything about ingredients. And not only that, but the sales guy, their man, rolled his eyes at me when I told him I was writing a book about shampoo ingredients. It was like, oh, Barbara, no. Oh, yes, dude. And then the other thing that he would call me, Missy.
Oh, that is a trigger for me.
Oh.
If anything is a trigger, it's little Missy.
Missy.
And if you shake your head back and forth, even worse.
I had to confront him about it because it just would like trigger me every single time he walked in and he would say, hey, Missy. Finally, I just like blew up at him and I said, please don't ever call me that again. I find it insulting. And he just looked like, what the fuck is wrong with her? You know? So between Missy and rolling his eyes at my starting to write about product ingredients, I moved away from Nature Specialties.
I, too, was an absolute fanatic for Plum Silky, especially the cologne, but the shampoo as well. I've never even tried the conditioner because they weren't releasing their ingredients, but I used the whole product line. I thought there was such a great variety there, and I didn't care for their marketing so much, but I did really love the fact that they had some shampoos that really deposited the smell, like Plum Silky, and I used that for my signature smell. Everybody at the vet hospital knew that the dog was groomed by me because it smelled like Plum Silky, and I still use Plum Silky. But recently we've learned that Nature Specialty has been picked up by Nexus. And the exciting thing about that is apparently they've decided to release their ingredients.
Well, I'll believe that when I see it.
Indeed.
I've had that promise. There's been a number of them that have promised, and even one, the coat handler major company, which I'm forgetting,
Senproco,
said that they would disclose their ingredients. They disclosed for about a year and then shut them down again. And in a way, I don't blame companies for that, because once you start disclosing your ingredients, you're open for the cosmetic cops, the uneducated people to come in and slam you because of some ingredient that you're using that they have heard misinformation about. I kind of don't blame them, but I do blame them, you know.
Yeah.
If everybody just disclosed, there wouldn't be any disclosure issues. And we have to deal with this business about what are good ingredients and what are bad ingredients, which is my current focus. I also used Kelco for a while, but I thought it was kind of meh. And I had one bad experience with Kelco Red White. It was a whitener that used red dye. And I had a bather who didn't wet. And this was before I had a bathing system. And she groomed a Samoyed and didn't wet it down thoroughly on the hips. So the hair was dry and the red white deposited red color on the dog's back legs and the hip area. And it was pink. And I got the call. I mean, I'm in the middle room and she's in the back. Barbara! Barbara, she's starting to cry. I've made this dog 3 times. I can't get the pink out. And I well, honey, it's just going to be what it is because you didn't wet the hair. It says right on the bottle, do not apply to dry hair. Well, there you go. This is what happens. And then I had to explain to the customer, we had a little mishap in the bathtub with the color shampoo. And your dog is a little bit on the pink side.
I hate those phone calls.
Well, it wasn't even a phone call. It was just a hollering from the back. Barbara! Barbara! You can only tell by the tone of voice if something icky has happened. You know, they whine it. Barbara! That was about the end of the Coco. As much as I enjoyed Kim Laube, because he was a personality. He was a master personality guy at the trade shows. And he was a very brilliant, very bright, intelligent man. And I really liked him a lot. But he did the runaround about ingredients. You had to look at the label, the safety data sheet, and the website to figure out what was in a product. To me, that was just making it really difficult to know what was in a product. It was not disclosing, oh, our ingredients are available. You just have to know how to find them. Well, fuck that.
Yeah, that doesn't count. So you know what changed my whole view?
What?
Because I'm up here in the Northwest, was the first trade show that came by. They had products. And I was like, wow, I had no idea there were all of these other choices out there. So I was working for a vet hospital at the time, and I came home with massive amounts of shampoo. They did buy the shampoo, but I brought home so much shampoo. And I tried everything. I remember trying Davis shampoo.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of different shampoos, and they had all these additive fragrances that you can mix your own and all that stuff. I thought that was kind of a novelty. But that's another shampoo that I didn't love it so much that I wanted to use it all the time. You know what I mean? And at that very first trade show that I went to, or the very first seminar I went to, even before the trade shows, I met Michael from Cascade Grooming Supplies.
Yeah.
And I began to be able to do the shopping there, right in my own backyard. So I could go in and I could smell things because, you know, I love smelling things. And I could test them in small bottles and then I could go back and get them without having to pay shipping. And that was such a great boon that I really started to branch out. He brought in Chris Christensen and I tried those. And nothing in that line really tweaked me very much. But then I met Best Shot. And Best Shot blew my mind. Just absolutely blew my mind. By that time, I had already been grooming with the bathing system because I started with a bathing system. So the silicone products that were coming out with Best Shot's de-shedding systems, I did a lot of de-sheds. They were just magical. And they were available in my backyard. And I think that was a bigger influence than anything to me, was the ability to get it in my backyard. When I go to a trade show, I have to ship everything or I have to carry it home in a suitcase. And that can be difficult and expensive and occasionally messy. I've had that happen. So that is really what changed my shopping ability to what he had. If he has it, then I'm probably going to use it. If he doesn't have it, maybe when I go to the trade show, I'll get a little bottle that I can put in my suitcase, but I probably won't use it on a regular basis. So that's been a huge influence.
I used Easy Groom for a while, and I used them because they were one of the first companies to completely disclose ingredients on their information sheet. I just really wanted to support that company. I thought their products were fine. I ended up not sticking with it over a long period of time because of shipping. But there was another shampoo that made a huge shift and change in my grooming protocol, because I was trained always brush and comb out and do the clipper work on all dogs before the shampoo. And I was like set in stone on that protocol. And I got challenged on that by an employee that who was with me for a while that came from the East Coast and said, well, we're ahead of you because we're not doing all of that before the bath. We just throw them in the tub and, you know, oh, what the fuck? That's not the way to groom. You never, ever, ever should do that. And I won't have that in my shop because I know the proper way. You know, no kidding. I went off like that. I know the proper way. Well, then George left and I was on my own for a little while, and it got really hard to do all of that brushing and combing before the bath and complete the grooms in time. And I ran into a product that was in a catalog, and I'm not sure I remember the name of it, but it was a shampoo. I think the name of it was Fluff Out or something like that. And I was starting to do a lot more scissored trims, and it was going to leave you with the best fluffed out version of the dog. And when I got the bottle, it said to shampoo the dog first and then comb it out. So it must have had some kind of conditioner in it. And I got pushed one day. I got pushed to the wall one day with my time management, and I said, what the heck, I'm going to go for it. And I poured that shampoo on the dog and I hand dried it. And my God, so much easier. Right then I started shifting to more and more of my dogs would be bathed first and then combed out and then scissored and clippered. I still occasionally will clip a dog first, especially if it's a big mess. But that was a product that was revolutionary to my grooming. And then I went through a period of time. I also used the Hydra Surge. As soon as I got a Hydra Surge, well, which was in the kind of early 90s, I use the Hydra Surge products because that's how you know kind of what to expect from other products. I liked them, but I wasn't overly in love with them. I used Equus for a while, which I liked. I really liked the Microtech Axis Microtech because it was an all-purpose medicated shampoo.
Oh, I got one.
What?
I used to use, and I really miss it, but I just don't use it anymore. Le Pooch de Noël.
Oh, that very expensive cologne from Le Pooch that came out. You perfume freak. Of course you bought it for $100 or whatever as well.
And the shampoo. I had to have the shampoo. I had to layer because my friend Barbara told me I should layer my scents on if I want them to stick. So I loved that shampoo and I loved the way it feels on my hands and the way the coat felt afterwards. But I tried some of the other shampoos in the line and I wasn't overly impressed with them. So I never really bit with any of the other ones. But man, I love that Le Pooch de Noël.
I used Le Pooch for a while. They had the most top shelf level marketing that you had ever seen in the pet grooming marketplace. I mean, they had a catalog that was thick and glossy all through it, and they used essential oils, and it was all beautiful photographs.
And the packaging.
Oh, the packaging was exquisite. I mean, it was really all top level presentation, and the products were good. But their product quality didn't hold up over the long haul, as far as I'm concerned. it's not the same company anymore. And another company that's not the same anymore, Pet Silk. I liked Pet Silk for a while.
Oh, you just brought back a sensory memory for me. I know exactly what that Pet Silk, the pink one. Was it pink? Did they have a pink one?
Could be. I used a number of Pet Silk. They had ingredients listed for a while. Once I got on the ingredient thing, that became a priority for me. I was less willing to fool around with products that didn't disclose ingredients when there were availables that I hadn't tried yet that did disclose. That became kind of a deal breaker for me real quick. Esprit was another one that I used for a while. I loved their rainforest fragrance.
Me too.
Yeah, the rainforest fragrance from Esprit was really nice. But that's another company that's kind of been passed around like a football. Esprit and Pet Silk. They both were that company had so much turnover in ownership. Everybody wants to buy less expensive ingredients. There's not a lot of difference in pet shampoo ingredients. They're pretty much the same ingredient marketplace that the human products are made from, but there is a difference between the costly ingredients and the cheap ingredients, and they just don't fly as well. What can you say?
Do you ever use BioGroom?
I've used some BioGroom. I think they have good products.
Kind of all-purpose general.
It's a good kind of a general shampoo. I also went through a dog show shampoo phase. Of course, I started out in dog shows with my mother-in-law's opsos, and so I had a history of dog show life and love. And I went to the dog shows, and I would buy products that were available at dog shows that weren't available in my catalogs or from my roving salesman. One of them that I liked was the number one All Systems brand, because there again, they disclosed ingredients. And it was in that brand I discovered their product stabilizer, coat retexturizer, skin refresher. And the only problem with that product was the name. It was just like too cumbersome. And what they finally have done, when you look at it today, the product stabilizer is in big letters. And so that's how it's called, the product stabilizer. And the coat retexturizer skin refresher is in small letters underneath that. So that ingredient is what inspired me to talk to Sandy at Show Season about creating the results rinse. That was my name for it too. I named that product.
It's an alliterative. It's perfect.
I inspired that product. Their formulator, Mike, came up with a specific formulation, but it was my idea to take something like the stabilizer product from Number One All Systems and add some dimethicone to it to give it a final finish feature, because Number One All Systems would market the coat retexturizer as you used it after the shampoo and then you shampooed the dog again and then you used conditioner. I hate it when they have too many steps. And so with the addition of a little bit of dimethicone as a conditioner, you could use the results rinse as a final rinse instead of a heavier conditioner. That made it really good for scissoring and for show days and like that. And then another experience that I had with dog show products was Summer Winds. So for quite a while, I used Summer Winds, and it was when I wasn't doing any bathing. And I had a guy named Randy, who was my bather and shop manager for a few years. And he had a terrible time with eczema on his hands. That poor guy, he suffered, but he didn't suffer. He was a cowboy, you know. He cut himself on a hike and he stitched himself up. That's kind of guy Randy was.
John Wayne, rub a little dirt on it and move on.
He was a John Wayne type.
Me too.
You're like that.
Yep.
So I didn't think too much of it, but then his time ended and I had to bathe again. And I started bathing with the Summerwind's whitener shampoo that we had loved and used for years. And it tore up my hands. And I said, holy cow, it's not Randy. It's the fucking shampoo.
Surprise.
In my head, it comes from the dog show. It's going to be better than what's available to pet groomers. You know, it's going to be a higher quality. It's going to be better stuff. Well, guess what? It wasn't. It chewed up our hands. And I'm sure they've improved it nowadays, but that was it. I used Chris Christensen for a while because I was their spokesperson, their speaker for a while. And there again, it was a show dog shampoo, and it was marketed in a kind of a huffery sort of a way, snotty sort of a way that appealed to me. And I liked the white on white a whole lot. And I liked the clean start. As far as a clarifying shampoo, Chris Christensen Clean Start was one of the first ones that was available to dog groomers. And it really did work to bring a coat back to its normal neutral state.
You just reminded me of Alpha White.
Double K,
that was it. Double K Alpha White was fantastic whitener until I discovered Best Shots whitener, and then now I've never looked back. But I really did love the color of that shampoo. The color of that shampoo, that cobalt blue, was so beautiful. I just was in love with that color. I wanted a car that color. Lovely color.
I think the best whitener that I've ever used was Ashley Craig, another kind of show market product. And I loved the results I got from Ashley Craig, but it was much too expensive and is too complicated. There's two products you have to use together, and then they're going to tell you what kind of water to use and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to pay shipping and... oh, it's overpriced. But for my own white hair, I use Best Shot. I use Best Shot on my hair.
Show season came in to my shopping environment when Michael got it at Cascade. And I love the variety of products they had. I just love there's so many choices and they're not a cookie cutter. I mean, some of it is cookie cutter, like their shampoo base with the triglycerides and stuff may be similar throughout. But the goodies they put in, they actually have an effect on the end result. And they're innovative. And I've always loved using their stuff. Plus, they always let us know what's in there. So let's talk a little bit about some of the lesser known brands, like maybe some stuff that we've tried here on the Groom Pod. So we tried the Sue shampoo.
Who has the 79 minerals from the Dead Sea in it? Now, excuse me, that's a bit excessive, you know? And when you got like that many minerals and extracts and all that in a shampoo, you really can't tell what's working and what's not. And they really can't be, there just can't be any more than 2% of the whole blend of goodies in there in order for the shampoo to still be a shampoo and to clean well and for the ingredients to work together well. I just thought it was bullshit.
Oh, Patty!
Did I say that?
So it used a lot of water for me to get the mud particulates out of the coat when I tried to do like one of those pre-treatments. I just didn't find it really overly applicable. We also got sent, Glacial Rain. That was a nice little shampoo line.
Glacial Rain, I think, is one of the best kept secrets in the industry. I think that as a starter thing, Glacial Rain shampoo. They have a shampoo and a conditioner and I think a medicated or an oatmeal shampoo. They have the best starting place for people that want a quality shampoo that's affordable and not too complicated choices.
Stazco is another one. Stazco for all-purpose. Right.
And I really like Stazco's oatmeal conditioner.
What was that one shampoo that we got that had a really great flea and tick shampoo in it? And then the rest of the shampoos were just kind of okay.
Wasn't that the one with the yucca in it?
Yes, but I cannot for the life of me remember the name of that shampoo line.
Quadruped.
That's it. The Quadruped shampoo, they had a nice flea shampoo that seemed to be pretty gentle and effective, and I thought that was cool. But the rest of them were kind of one-trick ponies, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that it was kind of meh, and I didn't really like the smell of the Quadruped product. I'll tell you, yucca is very a bitter plant, and it's hard to feed it to dogs, even though it helps dogs' health and helps them from like eating shit and stuff like that. You can't get them to eat the food with the bitter taste of yucca shigadera on it. I've tried some Artero products that I think are excellent, but they're just a little bit out of my price range. And I groom I like a lot, but it's a little bit out of my price range.
Did you try Hydra?
I hated it.
Yeah, I didn't like the smell. Whew.
I didn't like the smell of Hydra at all. It was off-putting. Yeah, I didn't like Hydra at all.
Have you tried Melanie Newman?
No, I haven't tried.
I tried one of the Melanie Newmans. It was okay. I liked the way it smelled, but it was very essential oily, a little too essential oily for me.
The shampoo that I would like to try that I've never tried, just because I want to see how the heck it works, is the Dogliness shampoo.
Oh, yeah.
It's got no anything in it. You know what? No, I mean, it's got a list of like 12 ingredients that it doesn't have. And then it has all of these sort of novel, new, relatively untested ingredients. So I'm just very curious as to how well this kind of an alternative formulation would work. And the conditioner that I would like to try is the Opaz Hair Restorative Treatments. There's two of them that you're supposed to use together. And I've seen the ingredients to them, and it looks like extremely contemporary ingredients, forward-looking ingredients, innovative stuff. I usually find myself using human products when I want to work with a really damaged or old coat. And these Opaz restorative treatments look like that they would perform well in that capacity. And it's interesting that they're in a line of dyes and colors for dogs, because color treatments can be very brutal to the hair. Let's just put it like that. That's kind of a subject for another day.
I agree.
Yeah, I would like to try the Opaz hair restorative treatments, and I would like to try the Dogliness. Which ones that you haven't tried yet would you like to try?
I don't know, but I'm certain I'm going to find something on the floor at Groomed. I'm taking an empty suitcase so that I can tape stuff up and pack it in there. And I'm bringing my luggage scale so I don't overdo it. And because Brandy and I have repacked suitcases many times at the airport, trying to get them to fit through without having to pay the extra amount for the overweight.
I recently found a carrier, a thing that I got at a trade show that folds out to be a little bag on wheels that I think I'm going to take so that I can be given, I hope, a lot of things to try.
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting free stuff and
meeting everyone.
And meeting everyone and meeting all these company reps and Probably Seuss will snub me. Oh, well.
Well, we get to meet Jay from Groomore. He's going to be there. So that's cool.
Oh, good.
Yep. We get to see Randy and Cheryl at Precision Sharp. We get to see our friends from Evolution. We're going to get to see Show Season at the tent sale, of course. We're going to get to see Best Shot on the Floor. They're actually helping us get into the trade show, so we appreciate that. Meanwhile, how about if we take a break and then come back with our classroom segment, which is all about how good is that skin barrier that dogs have? Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance-free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com. We want to welcome Randy and Cheryl Lowe from Precision Sharp and invite you to check out their website where you can see their newest precise cut shear called Lint. It's a patented design featuring a thumb ring that slides the length of the handle for perfect ergonomic placement of your thumb. Slide it and lock it into position to get your best groom on. Check it out at precisionsharp.com. Groomers, take your seats. It's time for B-Bird's Classroom. Barbara, just how good a barrier is a dog's skin?
Well, compared to the human skin, we hear a lot about that the canine skin, your dog's skin is more sensitive than yours and blah, blah, blah. And also we hear a lot about, in general, that anything that goes on the skin goes direct to the bloodstream. That's a lie. That's just an untruth, misinformation, disinformation to make you less trusting of your existing products. It is true that canine skin has fewer layers of stratum corneum, which is the hard surface of your skin. However, there are other differences that kind of compensate for that, that make up for that. They have fewer layers of stratum corneum, but it has been found that normal dog skin, healthy dog skin, has less of the intercellular stuff that other species have, which results in a thin epidermis with a more dense layers. Does that make sense? Did I explain it well?
So the very top is skinny, but the rest of the layers are thick?
Well, more dense, more tightly packed.
Okay.
Not necessarily taking up more room and being fatter or thicker, but being more tightly packed and more dense, and so less absorptive. Get it?
Less permeable.
Yeah, less permeable, and penetration is the whole thing, because in order to be toxic or harmful, a substance has to penetrate through the skin layers to get into the deeper stuff and finally find its way to the bloodstream. It's not an easy task. It's a nearly impossible task. So unlike the disinformation that everything you put on the skin reaches the bloodstream, very few things can reach the bloodstream. Very few.
You need to have a carrier for most stuff, right? I mean, something that you know will go through.
Even a penetration enhancer isn't necessarily going to send it. Penetration doesn't mean through. It just means into, right?
Yes.
I have sort of sexual analogy that I make, but it's kind of like just the tip. No, well, you know, when we have sex, it doesn't go through the vagina, right?
Right, right.
It just goes into. That's penetration. And then you also have the teenage promise of just the tip. Right? Some ingredients are more like just the tip, and other ingredients are a little more deeply penetrating.
And I bet there's some ingredients that are just like coming on your tits.
Right. That don't go through at all. Okay, so there's a few other things about skin that we need to know about canine skin. There are areas of the dog's body where the skin is more thin than others. And where there is the thinnest skin, there's also more of a turnover of cells. So you have newer, fresher skin there than you do on like your arms.
Wow.
Those areas are like that inner thigh area up near the genitals. That's very thin skin. And that's the skin where we're most likely to have clipper nicks.
Isn't that the truth? Underarms too.
Yeah, the armpits too. But this business about the skin being more sensitive would be another whole thing. Sensitivity has to do with allergic reaction.
And irritation, too.
Irritation and allergic reactions, which are closely related. But in order for the skin to be irritated or allergic reactions, that's a function of the product and also the time.
Contact time.
Contact time, molecular weight time.
You've said the smaller the molecule, the more likely or potential there is for it to get in there.
Oh, yeah. That only makes sense, right?
Right.
You've got little spongy stuff that is the inner skin. And if the molecule is large, it's just not going to be able to go through the cracks.
So what you're saying is that if it's something that's causing an irritation, it is not necessarily something that's penetrating.
That's right. It can be causing an irritation right on the surface. But the dog's skin is not more sensitive than the human skin. There is a difference, however, between breeds and types of dogs and coat type. For example, really thick coat, like let's take a Siberian Husky or a Malamute, that has that thick undercoat, those dogs have a slightly thinner skin, whereas short-coated dogs like little dachshunds, they have a slightly thicker skin structure. So there's a relationship between coat type and thickness of the canine epidermis.
That makes sense.
The pH, which we used to hear a whole lot of, thank goodness, they have shut up on the pH thing. You only hear about, if somebody raises the question, is it okay to use human shampoo on dogs? And they'll say, oh yes, the pH is totally different. Well, guess what? The pH amongst dogs is different and the pH amongst humans is different. And there's a lot of overlap where it's pretty similar. Although basically the human skin has a higher pH, but there's always a but. pH is not a measurement of skin. pH is a measurement of liquid. So what the heck is this business about the pH of the skin anyway? If you wash away all of the lipids and stuff that are on the skin, you're going to have a different pH.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think so. It's kind of a moot point, and it's not being argued nearly as much. There was a time when the pet product industry kind of freaked out that so many groomers and show handlers and pet owners were using human shampoos on their dogs because they were better quality products.
They're certainly more advanced.
They were more advanced. They were more quality. They had things like deep panthenol before they ever found the way to the dog products. They had a lot of products that made shampoos better, including cocamidopropyl betaine, which didn't always used to be around. And it makes a big difference, makes molecules of the shampoo mixed too large to penetrate very far. It makes a shampoo formulation more mild than the shampoo cleansing detergents themselves would be. In order to scare us off of using human products, they came up with this business that the pH was so different that it was going to be harmful to use people's shampoo on dogs.
And we took it hook, line, and sinker.
Boy, we flew with it. And we dragged each other over the coals about it. And it still pops up because any leverage is good leverage. They want to keep pet people using products that have pictures of dogs on them because there's a bigger profit margin there. That's the whole idea of marketing. So pH balanced for pet still pops up, but it's really hard to say what's going to be the real right on pH for your dog. And the pH is going to be different on different areas of the skin. And it's different by gender. And it's different by breed. And it's different by coat type.
It's different by individual.
That's right. So there's so much variable in pH that the pH argument is not necessarily valid. So the truth is, a slightly acidic product is actually going to refresh the skin and make it less fruitful for microbes, for bacteria especially. Bacteria don't like acidic pH.
All right, Barbara, guess what? I think we're going to call this show In the Can, and I know you've got to get to writing, and I have to get to my taxes, I suppose, or something along that nature, because it's miserable outside, and I will not be going out to play today. Thanks for being here, everybody. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to everyone on Patreon, and we'll be back with our regularly scheduled content very soon. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next time on the Groom Pod. Bye.
Take care of yourselves. We love you.